Okay. Story. I'm just gathering my thoughts here and my understanding of the situation in the world. So it starts with colonialism. These Western countries make their fleets and their weapons and so on, and they sail around and find resources in these other continents. And managed to basically take them, and have been continuing doing so on a regular basis, sucking them out from Africa, South America, Asia. And then being able to use those resources to build up their civilization, meaning technology, industry, to produce big buildings and fancy stuff and machines and high standard of living and enjoying cars and all of it. Now, in the old days, they did this by slaves that they picked from Africa and elsewhere and put in their cotton fields and whatever. But more importantly, they let most of those people stay in Africa and in those countries and work, and they put their industries there, the mines and the fields, and to get the raw material. The resources they could get from there, because things grow well in Africa and those places down there, and there are big resources of minerals and so on. So they trained these people to just run the work in the mines and work on the fields at hardly any salary. So they were slaves there instead. So then all these resources goes over to Europe and then America, and then so to the industries. They took all this cotton from India, went to the textile industry in Europe, made clothes, cloth that the Indians then had to buy from them. Similar all over. In this way, the Western countries became rich, and that's why we are so now, compared to the rest of the world, where there is still a lot of mess and poor countries and so on. That is created by the West and white people. Now, what is happening? Or what happened was that the smart Western people thought, and I saw it happening in my own family in the mid-late 70s, why should we have our industries here? It's dirty, it's a lot of work to work in those factories. Let those people down there in those other countries in Asia and Africa, South America, do that work for us. We put the industries there as well. That's very smart. We got the natural resources there, and they go to the industries, and those cheap workers, they work for us. And we can produce our things dirt cheap compared to what it costs to produce them locally here. I'm giving salaries of our standard to our workers, like in my father's trouser factory. So then everything went over there. My father's trouser factory went bankrupt, as all the other factories in the area, textile area of Sweden, where I come from. And all over the world, same thing. I mean, the Western world. And big, big industry factories in China and Bangladesh and India and so on. Mainly in China. But people, hardworking, producing for the West, became the industry, the factory of the West. Very good. Made in China, cheap products. And they delivered. And this is basically neo-colonialism. And in the West, the business became financial papers, stock markets, selling, buying, marketing, advertising, shipping, those kind of things. Middleman work, lots of it. Now, the colonialist part of it is, and had been all the time, that we will keep these poor countries poor and working for us, depending on us. We give them loans so they become indebted forever and so on. All kinds of different tricks. And if someone, some leader in some country didn't play along with us, then we just replace him. We cause a little revolution or whatever, upheaval. Now we have the color revolutions. It's just a standard procedure. And this way we keep control and keep everyone down there on the floor working for us so that we can maintain our status quo of the Western white world as the leading rich, wealthy, civilized, advanced, developed world, and the others, well, working for that superior Western world. Now, what happened during the past maybe gradually 10, 20, 30 years, especially when we look at China, which is a good example, and that's why I say China is being now painted as an evil country, as an enemy, because it's not playing along with that game anymore. What they did, because they are very intelligent and hardworking, is that yes, we now have these factories and we have expertise, we know how to do this technology. We know how to run this industry. They didn't stay down there ignorant, having only the Westerners knowing how to run industries and build and so on. They learned all that to do it themselves and set up their own industries and then say, yes, now you can buy from us at fair prices. So So now the situation is, just to fast forward a bit to the now. The BRICS means the trading corporation, countries working together, win-win. Every country is a node in a big system where they try to function together in a fair way. Buying and selling from each other. Countries there in Africa are not anymore just forced to work as slaves for the lords, the white lords, but they can set up their own industries. They get, you know, there are schools developing and they get educated and they get help. Countries help each other with expertise, sharing expertise, resources, and dealing fairly with each other. And therefore we see that these BRICS countries are now developing more and more and becoming stronger and stronger financially. And you may also notice that the BRICS countries are not really trying to take control of the world militarily or whatever, politically, but simply trading with each other. So what happened now is that BRICS is becoming very financially strong, industrially strong, which of course also can become militarily strong. They are strong. China, for instance, they are producing, they have like 6,000 ships fishing all around the world. They can produce a fleet quickly, also military if they want, if they need to. Whilst I heard a colonel from the US saying that the USA, they don't have that, the resource, the ability to do that anymore. What they have in the West, both in the USA and in Europe, are problems, social problems. There's the immigration issue, there's the financial problems, political problems, weak leadership, strange people sitting in leadership positions, not very qualified at all. They are weak militarily, but trying to pretend that they are strong. They are really weakening and going down. So they are losing the control of the world. They are losing the control over their old colonies, so to speak, meaning the other continents of Africa and Asia. And you can see that the latest events happening, the US, they are threatening now to declare war against Venezuela.
just look at what's going on, and you can see the pieces of the puzzle start to fall into place. They do these irrational things. Just going down there outside Venezuela and blowing up a boat, saying that they were drug terrorists on their way to the U.S., although that such a boat could never make their way to U.S. And now they put the U.S. military navy down outside Venezuela, and they just took an oil tanker, a Venezuelan oil tanker, just took all the oil, and Mr. Trump is saying it straight out, yes, we have that oil and we're going to use it. It's piracy. And they're talking about, yeah, now we should take over Venezuela and replace the government there, because they don't have a good government. And we'll take all their oil, because actually it's our oil. They took it from us. They just say things like that. So, and I also heard them saying things like, because now they're talking about Colombia as well, that yes, the South America, that's our domain. That's our place. That's where we get our resources from. So they're just trying to take that now, which of course they had it enslaved for many years, but now they can see, yeah, China and Asia, we cannot take anymore. Africa, we're losing the grips of it as well. We take South America. So that's the situation today. These old superpowers going down quickly, and just trying to, I mean, the colonialists, that's the best way to see them, because that's what they still are, just trying to grab whatever they can. We take this continent, and I just heard Trump saying, we need Greenland. Let's take Greenland. But it belongs to Denmark. Anyway, we need it. There are Chinese and Russian ships all over Greenland. We need to take it. That's the situation today. And I just heard, as I'm speaking this, the 23rd of December, 25, Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, who used to work directly under Colin Powell in the Bush administration there in the U.S. is now 80 years old and pensioner, and speaking very freely and very intelligently, he really knows and can see very clearly what's going on. He just made that statement yesterday, I think, or today, that in a few days, at the end of this year, the American financial, whatever, central bank, whatever is called up there, will get in their lap a debt of $3 trillion that need to be paid within 24 hours or something. I don't know what it is, but he says it. And he explains that they don't have the money for it. You can't just make money from nothing. And you can't sell bonds for $3 trillion just in a few weeks. They need to be bailed out by China, who's the only one who can do that. So we see that the situation is, and the similar situation is there in Europe. They're going down together, becoming weaker and weaker, and more domestic problems. Extremely low confidence in politicians and leadership, both in the US and in Europe. And chaos, more and more chaos. and an economy that can, at least that's what Colonel Wilkerson said, you know, in 5 years or something, the U.S. economy can have crashed completely, if not quicker. It's in a serious crisis, both in Europe and in the U.S. But then in the Eastern world, those who are now in that BRICS, there it is strong and flourishing and growing. And those countries are now rich and getting richer and richer. So as I'm sitting here, that makes me optimistic because it doesn't seem like the whole world will crash. It seems like the colonialists will come crashing down. And the former colonies, well, maybe they would even be kind enough to save those poor fellows over there in the West. We will see. But that's now why the U.S., because they need oil desperately for their trucks and their industries. This is again Colonel Wilkerson explaining this today. But now oil is not anymore just sold in dollars, and they're just one of the customers, not the controllers of it. So they are getting difficulties because they need money to buy oil. And if they have a debt that has to be quickly paid off, $3 trillion, it may be the interest on their, probably that's what it is, interest on that $37 trillion national domestic debt they have. Then they don't have money to buy oil. So that's why they go to Venezuela, where there are, Colonel Wilkerson said, 300 billion barrels of oil. They need those 300 billion barrels of oil. So they make up something calling Venezuela, or first it was that they are drug cartel country, just now we should attack them and replace the government and take over. And then it changed. Trump instead is talking now that, no, they have taken our oil. It's our oil. The oil they have in Venezuela. So we're just taking what is ours. It's pirates, desperate. And they're coming out. It's just becoming harder and harder to conceal what's really going on. What used to be colonialism is getting into piracy, stealing, plundering. Well, that's what it was all the time, really. Since the colonialists started entering into these countries, they just plundered them. But now the plundering can be done openly, and since they are in control of the media, people won't even notice, or they will even think it's kind of okay. If the president says it's our oil, then it's our oil. So that's the situation today. But as Colonel Wilkerson said, even if they take all this oil in Venezuela, they just push the problem further a year or two. And of course, a danger is in this situation that one thinks a war can help us. We can fight ourselves out of this financial or whatever situation and social chaos by having a war, mobilizing everyone, everything, working hard. And out of patriotism, going through any hardships to save the motherland. You know that old story. So, yes, maybe they're trying to do that, but then again, Colonel Wilkerson, top military leader in the, an expert in the U.S., working directly under Colin Powell, who was the top military, absolute top military leader during the Iraq war and all that. He should know what he's talking about. And he says that the U.S. and the NATO in Europe together would not be able to even defeat one of the countries of Russia or China, what to speak of the entire eastern part of the world, which is now cooperating in BRICS and the global south, which consists of the former colonies who have been exploited, sucked out by these Western countries for hundreds of years and who are fed up with that now. Why should they cooperate? So if there's a war, if the Western powers are trying to go to war now, Wilkerson said that it won't work anyway. It won't help. And they will be defeated. So that's the situation today that we should see. This is a big, important, serious situation today in the world. It's not just the evil ones over there who did that evil thing, and that the whole world should fight them. And let's mobilize all the media and put all these messages and narratives out there and convince everyone, as many billions of people as possible, the whole Western world at least, that we are the good ones. We are fighting for freedom and democracy, and you should send your sons and daughters out and sacrifice their lives for this highest goodness. Well, that's the chance maybe they have, but that's why I'm talking so much, because it's an illusion, it's a lies, and they will only lead to millions, if not billions, of people dying, sons and daughters getting killed. Do you want that? That's what I ask people. So anyway, just an attempt at summarizing what I've learned through this year, when this year is soon over.